You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are in Liverpool, England. We are here for the Cooligans Clásico. But we, you know what? Major League Soccer is still very much a part of our lives. NYCFC, Portland Timbers, MLS Cup Final. We're going to Portland. Absolutely insane time. I don't know what else I was going to talk about. Sorry, I'll do it one more time. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do it again. All right. Cool. Tonight on the Cooligans, we are in Liverpool, England. The Cooligans Clásico has happened. Everton, Arsenal, you know, we're obviously Premier League is a big part of our lives, but Major League Soccer is still an experience here. NYCFC and Portland Timbers going to the MLS Cup Final. We're going to Portland. We'll see you there.
That's right. Plus, that's not it. We talked to two legends, two 99ers. We talked to Mia Hamm and we talked to Julie Foudy. Not only did they win the World Cup in 1999, but they are both part owner of Angel City FC, which we got to see their kit reveal. We talked to them about everything from owning the team, being a 99er, how dope they are, and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
May, okay. We are, that's it. That's all you learned on British Duolingo.
That's it. I mean, at least that I'm allowed to say on a TV show. It has been a wild time here in the north of England.
That's right. What's good, everybody? We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here. On Football Sports Network.
It's football, mate.
It's football. As soon as I said soccer, I'm like, oh, no.
No, not in this country. It's also the gulliest. Cheerio. I'm running out of extra.
That's it. The vocabulary is done. We are absolutely thrilled for today's show, not because of the incredible guests that we have.
Insane level of guests.
Absolutely insane. But Alexis mentioned, we are currently in Liverpool, England, doing the show, chatting, you know. American soccer doesn't stop just because we're in England. Okay?
No. If anything, we're out here just making sure everyone else knows about it. We are almost pontificating. You know what I mean?
We're ambassadors, all right? And for whatever reason, we
capital ASS inside of that ambassador.
we wear Pope hats as we do it.
If you don't believe we're in Europe, just look right there over his shoulder. Look, that's a kettle, dude. Do you think one of us has that? We ain't drinking tea like that, fam.
So we have two incredible guests today. Wow. Literally, I'm like shaking with anticipation and excitement because not only do we have one 99er.
No, we've got dual legends.
We have two 99ers, okay?
These are 99-year-old people we found in Liverpool who like American soccer.
Okay, you're going to love them, I swear.
Some interviews a little slow, but we'll get there.
No, we have Mia Hamm.
Yeah, and Julie Foudy.
We're going to be speaking to both of them. Mia, we spoke to her in Los Angeles at the Bank of California Stadium.
Think of the insanity we just said. We're in Liverpool, and we're going to show you a clip of something we filmed in Los Angeles. And then we are both very tired.
Right, for the Angel City announcement of their first kit. And we'll talk to Julie Foudy, who's also a co-owner of Angel City as well. So we'll talk to both of them. Absolutely stoked.
We're in Liverpool, not Stoke.
Okay, I get them mixed up all the time. They just sound so similar.
It's just really, we're very Liverpool to be here today.
But we have to start with Major League Soccer. Simply because
let's not talk about Cooligans Clásico. Let's talk about Major League Soccer, right? Something we can both celebrate.
Alexis doesn't want to get to that. We'll get to that later. We have something. So let's bond over our club we both support. New York City Football Club. If you saw the playoffs, also and also shouts to the Portland Timbers because the MLS Cup final will be hosted by the Portland Timbers, and the visiting team will be New York City Football Club.
Insane. What? Just saying that. By the way, this show started in the stands of NYCFC, and they didn't play that well that first season. If I remember correctly, 11 winless in a row.
Yeah, it was a rough.
Rough patch there, mm-hmm. And now. Only so many years later, the show's still going strong, and that team is going to MLS Cup Finals. That means we got to go to MLS Cup Finals.
Exactly. So we're leaving Liverpool and going directly to Portland after this. We had to change all of our plans because of that. So shout to NYCFC for forcing us to change our plans to go to an MLS Cup Final. So
and shouts to Dramamil and all the other ways we're going to be able to sleep.
But obviously, let's talk about NYCFC in the Eastern Conference Final against the Philadelphia Union. And before we even praise NYCFC as much as we want to, the Philadelphia Union were put in an awful, awful position.
Insane.
Obviously, several of their players tested positive for COVID.
I think it ended up being 9 total.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 of them were starters, if I'm not mistaken.
Roughly, yeah.
Rough position. And we were like, well, they can't play the game, right? They'll delay. No, they did not. MLS was like, you go and play that game.
Yeah. The rules say, you know, if you have enough players to field the team, you have to play the game.
Yeah. I think NYCFC would have beaten a full capacity, if you will, Philadelphia Union. But they made this upstart team really made NYCFC sweat, boy.
Yeah, I mean, look, Philadelphia Union get the first goal because of an own goal from Alexander Collins. And 90 seconds later, Maxi Morales scores and ties the game. Then obviously you've seen it. Talis Magno towards the end of the game gets the game winner. It was a lot of heart from the Philadelphia Union. Obviously, you feel gutted for the whole situation and all our Philadelphia Union friends. Mm-hmm. They put on an incredible match. And this is always going to be regardless of who wins MLS Cup, this is always going to be that thing of like, even if NYCFC wins, but look what happened. Philly.
But
even if the Timbers win, it'd be like, but they didn't have to play. You know what I mean? It's always going to be a thing. And it's a bummer because that isn't the match.
You know, who cares? Put an asterisk on that bad
I'll
boy.
Take it with an asterisk.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Who cares?
But we had to watch the game. So we watched the game in Manchester.
We called maybe 15 different pubs. We found out from Manchester City, some of the folks that work there, we were like, well, NYCFC is owned by you guys. Are you putting it on like a watch party or something?
You have a pub partner in Manchester?
Yeah. Is there something we can do? And they mentioned a couple of different places where we could watch it. So it made sense to go to Manchester. We called a couple places. Plus, we were meeting up with MLS UK.
Yeah.
And he lives not far from Manchester. So we take the train to Manchester.
His name is not MLS UK. His name is Henry, but okay.
Henry, but most people would know him as at MLS UK. So we take the train to Manchester. We find a pub that said, yeah, sure, we'll put it on as soon as the F1 is over. So we get there and there's about 2 minutes before the match is going to start, and the F1 is on for interviews. And I said, hey, can you change it? They said no. And I said, what about that TV over there that just has Diego Maradona highlights? And the guy's like, all right, fine, but it's just the end of the race interviews with F1. So I get back up and I go, hey, you probably don't know who I am, but myself and that guy over there, we're famous. We have a television show in the US, and this is going to be on it. Like, we're going to mention this, right? By the way, shouts to Tip Street Tavern, and you'll know why I said the name.
Right.
So they have a bunch of TVs. I said, can you put the audio on? Just for us, I get it, but we kind of need to hear the game. And the guy's like, sorry, can't do it, mate. Can't do it for you, mate. And I said, all right, let me go to the bathroom. I go downstairs and I see there's a bunch of TVs, right? And I even said, like, hey, come on, we'll talk about your place on TV. You could look us up. It's real. I'm not making it up. And I was like, dude, we're huge in America. There might have been a little fib there. Fib Street Bar, Fib Street Tavern. So I go to the base. I go to the basement to go to the bathroom, and there's like a whole other section of bar down there with TVs. And as I'm leaving the bathroom, I hear, and I'm like, that's the MLS. That's the MLS theme. I'm like, I thought maybe this came from a European song that I don't know about, and they just happened to be playing that. So as I walk upstairs, I see Christian, Sam, our videographer, and Henry picking up their coats, and like, they're putting on the audio for us downstairs. And I was like, they told me that section was closed. And they're like, just shut up and come downstairs. Yeah. And the guy comes down and he goes, you are going to mention us on that TV show. We're like, absolutely. Tip Street Tavern. You got to go if you're ever in Manchester. Tip Street Tavern.
This is now a commercial with Tip Street. Come on down. Tip Street Tavern.
Okay? Yeehaw. You bring the yee, we bring the haw.
Just a nice little local car dealership commercial for a bar. But we basically closed down.
We took over it. We took over
Tip Street. They gave us the entire basement. We had like 7 TVs. We're watching the game. Watching Major League Soccer. We basically said, it's called soccer now. Yeah. Tip Street Tavern. Yeah. Deal
Tip
with
Street
it.
Soccer Tavern.
But absolutely dope time. And obviously to get to see NYCFC move on and go to an MLS Cup final, it was emotional.
It was insane.
Again, you know, we've been following the club since day one. The Cooligans would not exist without NYCFC. That's 100% true. 100%. So that's it. We're going to the MLS Cup final. So you'll see us in Portland, bruh.
That's right. All right, let's talk a little bit about this European trip because I, as an Arsenal supporter, have not had a good time.
All I've gotten to do on this trip is witness Arsenal lose and watch my team win.
It's not fair. This wasn't what I signed up for. You know what? We should have came a day early so you could have been in that derby so you could watch Everton get dismantled. But fine. Yeah. We went to Manchester United versus Arsenal, a very difficult ticket to get. We had to pull every string we could find. And people were like, leave our blinds alone. And we're like, we're pulling every string, dude. But eventually, we got tickets. Here's the little wrinkle. We got tickets in the home section.
Right.
And if you don't know a lot about how soccer is done out here in merry old England, you don't do that if you're an Arsenal supporter. So I basically just pretended to only speak Spanish. They were two massive United fan, like massive dudes. I was in between them and I was like, hey, todo yang. And I was like, if they ask, I'm just going to pretend I'm Cavani's cousin. You know what I mean? Just like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, you couldn't show any support really whatsoever, especially because
couldn't show frustration, which is what I wanted to show.
Obviously in this game, United won 3-2. It was a lot of goals, but at least at the very least, if you're neutral, it was entertaining. But in the section that we were in, there was a family. It was a woman that I've never seen more angry at Manchester United
also,
players.
The level of vulgarity,
the swearing was unbelievable. I'm like, is this is this the definition of ladylike? In England, it was unbelievable. She was the main quote? Right.
The linesman called an offside. That's it. It wasn't. They didn't call back a goal because of it. The dude did his job. He pulled out the flag, and for the rest of this match, and whenever he got close, and we were in like the third row.
Yeah.
And this is an expensive section, so I'm assuming this family has money. As soon as the guy got close, she yelled, "Stick it up your arse! Stick the flag up your arse!" For 90 minutes, she could not stop thinking about offside call.
And then she was like with a young child, and it was like, she would be like, "Stick it up your arse," and it's like, "Hey, you know, Ethan, are you okay?"
Yeah.
You know, like,
did you eat your go-gurt, Ethan? Because if not, you could stick it up your
It was surreal, the intensity. So, look, that game was incredible. But we came here.
It was also Flex's birthday, and we got to go hang out with him afterwards a little bit. And I got to be on United View, which
was
dope.
Yeah, it was great. It was more people being like, oh, these Americans know what they're talking about. It's crazy.
There's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of like, whoa.
You're right.
Okay,
I got to be on Toffee TV as well. Shout out to them. So that was cool. A little bit more low-key than like United View. Yeah. Or Arsenal Fan TV, very different. So it was really, really great time. But we were here for the Cooligans Clásico, which is Everton versus Arsenal. We went to Goodison Park. Look, first of all, got to give a huge amount of props to Everton Football Club because they were unbelievably welcoming.
We've seen more parts of Goodison Park than some players have.
I think so, man.
It's insane. They literally, like, if there was a door, they're like, nah, let's go through. You're seeing every inch and square of this place.
We obviously got to go to the locker rooms. Mm-hmm. I got to hold the FA Cup from the last time Everton won a trophy.
Insane.
I got to come out of the tunnel. We got to beat by...
They played, as they call it, Z cars. It's Z cars, but they played that... if you're an Everton fan, you know all about it. It's like a siren and the drums start, and it's very significant. It's what the players hear, and it's sort of what, you know, what Tim Howard listened to and what Landon Donovan listened to that would get them hyped as they were walking out. And dude, he got to do that. He got to walk through the tunnel. It was funny because they were like, "You two could do it." I'm like, "Come on, let Christian do this on his own." You know what I mean?
It's just an incredible experience. So
getting to be in that classic stadium before it's knocked down and the new stadium comes up in a few years was absolutely amazing. And you, dude, how many times you say you get to be in a closed stadium, just kind of walking around doing whatever you want, sitting in any seat you want? It was crazy.
Just unbelievable time. So thank you again to Everton, but let's talk about the game itself.
No, let's not. Let's talk about, they kept walking us around.
they were so hospitable.
Yeah. Actually, you know what they did? They took us to the old players lounge where the players would go and have drinks after the game. It's inside. And there was one of the former players, a captain from 1985, and he leads tours. And he was just talking about how great it is and how much, once you're an Everton player, you're always an Everton player. And I jokingly shook his hand. I go, "By the way, I'm the new signing." He looked at me like, "Oh no, it's worse than we thought." And he kind of realized I was joking. He goes, "First thing, we're putting you on a diet."
Bro,
and
keeping it real, 100.
It was so funny. But it was like, that just goes to show like the level of like, they would bring us around and show us to everyone. So shouts to everyone for doing that. And yeah, the game happened and Arsenal won 17-0. I don't know if you guys saw that.
What a game, bro.
I hated every second of it.
Look, VAR is a hater trying to destroy everything for Everton.
Man of the match would have gone to VAR had Arsenal won for
Mike
sure.
Dean, the legendary, the infamous referee is refereeing this
known
game.
Known Arsenal hater.
But VAR, he was looking out for you guys.
Yeah.
So VAR
had money on that game, boy.
Took away two goals from Everton. And then Everton,
two goals from Richarlison.
But a goal taken away, and then literally seconds later, Arsenal score right before halftime. It is kind of deflating, but Everton's still playing well in this game. And then second half, what was the last few minutes of that game?
Arsenal doesn't know how to kill a match. That's the problem.
They were time wasting.
They didn't waste time. That's the problem. They went into time wasting mode, but no time had been wasted. All they did was waste opportunities, Nketia. Okay. Yeah. Also, when did our midfield forget how to pass the ball?
And Damari Gray with the goal. I mean, to be in that stadium for something like that. Look, obviously, the heartbreak for Alexis, the absolute elation for me.
And I'm in the away section, so there's people throwing things and boo. Meanwhile, he's out there partying in the other section.
People are hugging and kissing near me. It's just absolute madness.
Look,
man.
For the purpose of the trip, it's his first time going to Goodison. I get, you know, if you were writing it out as a script, that's what you would have happen, you know, as Everton win. But for me, if I was the director, that's not what happened at all.
Okay. Alexis will do the Snyder cut. It's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
Right?
The Criterion collection doesn't end this way.
Okay. Aubameyang finishes. Is that chance? Okay.
You know, maybe Nketia doesn't miss a wide open goal on a header. You know, with things like that. Maybe Pepe comes in the game. Who knows?
Did
maybe
you see the photo? Have you seen the photo of Pepe at the side just with the hood up, just angry? I don't know.
Yeah, he was angry when they realized we were starting Xhaka when he just came back. The man had no legs.
Look, I don't have to tell you. Arsenal in disarray. Everton, our stable club.
What are you, 12? Stop it. Stop it.
All right, let's get back to some American soccer.
Yeah, the best form of soccer.
And we have to get to our interview because look, a couple weeks ago, we got to fly out to Los Angeles for a surprise event that Angel City was putting on.
We had no idea what it was.
They actually did not tell us what was about to happen. It was a surprise.
Is it a prank on us?
I thought we were being catfished. You know what I mean? They say like, "Hey, you're going to be talking to me and Ham," and then Taylor Ham shows up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Why am I happy still though?
But no, this is it. We got to speak to the absolute legend, one of Angel City FC's owners, a 99er.
One of the biggest legends we've ever spoken to. I was so nervous.
Absolute honor. So here's our conversation with Mia Hamm.
Do we even have to do an intro for the legend that is standing here?
I mean, I want to just like fanboy. Uh-huh. That's the instinct that I have right now. But I'm trying to be as professional as possible.
Be cool. Yeah,
my first question is, yo, Mia Hamm, what's it like being Mia Hamm, dude?
It's awesome.
Okay.
I mean, I'm here with you guys.
Yeah.
Right. We are here at Bank of California Stadium, Angel City FC. Right. We're here for a secret event. We don't even know. We haven't been told exactly what's going to happen just yet, so we're excited. And Mia, you feel free to reveal that if you want to or don't. I don't know.
Am I allowed to?
Yeah, this won't air right away, so feel free.
So please, Mia Hamm, why are the Cooligans here? Why are we talking to you right now?
Because you guys are going to get one of the first looks at our home kit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is,
you know,
tight.
Obviously, you're Mia Hamm, right? Yeah. You played at an incredible level, World Cups, the whole nine. You're a legend. Thousands and thousands of young girls played soccer because of you. Well, obviously, technical, right, is the first thing I think of when I think of Mia Hamm's involvement. How involved are you in the look of Angel City? Are you like, this is trash? Get this out of here. I want the angel looking that way.
You know, how involved is Mia Hamm? As much as, you know, I can help them draw or not draw stick figures, yeah, this is true. I submitted so many of the, you know, for the logo.
Uh-huh.
They all got rejected.
Okay.
I don't understand.
Shame on them, yeah. Really.
No, this is, I let the people who know what they're doing kind of drive.
Okay, smart move.
Okay. Yeah. If they want to talk to me about the game players, I'm happy to, but I stay in my lane in a lot of places, and this would be one of them.
Okay. Did you recommend the Los Angeles Hams? It would have been amazing.
That would have been.
So speaking of that, like I know for a lot of former players, especially involved with clubs, there is that challenge of like, how much input am I giving? Like, cause any friction with the coach or things like that. How much is it like, hey, I'm Mia Hamm, please listen to me?
I've got a suggestion.
We told, you know, there's a group of us that played on the women's national team and were part of the ownership group, and we're like, oh, poor Freya. Like, first game, we're all going to be standing there in the tunnel and be like, seriously, what is going on out there?
You're gonna be doing this. So this is the formation you're going with.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, we'll already be in the locker room, like
just erasing what's on the board.
Yeah.
We got some suggestions to make. What is? We were at the ICC Futures, and we got to see when you showed up. Just the reaction. You know, it was almost as if we weren't important anymore because you were there.
Yes,
it was an overwhelming effect. What do you think you could impart to the players of this team? As you try to win an NWSL championship, which it seems like that's what you're going for here, one.
Well, I think the players, you know, in this league and internationally, they have so much more experience than we did kind of coming into it. But I think, you know, the daily grind of being a pro is, especially for young players out of college, is something that, you know, takes getting used to. Is everything that you do, everything, you know, how much sleep, what you eat, your pre and post, you know, practice kind of maintenance impacts what you do on game day. So getting them to understand their performance, but also their connection to the community and how important that is to building this club into what we all know it can be.
All right. And last question. I've read so much about your career and especially U.S. women's soccer.
It's on the stone tablet.
Okay.
It's a long time ago.
They chiseled it. It took a while, but they got it in there.
Obviously, there's so much history, your history with American soccer, women's soccer. And just to get to this point, to be an owner of a club in Los Angeles and seeing the NWSL grow as much as it has. I mean, on a personal level, how's that feel for you?
Incredibly proud. And the other thing is not just someone who's played the game, but now a mom, and to be able to bring my daughters and my son to this stadium to watch their heroes play. And to see their role models compete week in and week out just means so much to me. And, you know, we're going after a championship in the first year. It's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. But that's the bar we've set at Angel City is we want to do things differently. And we believe in, you know, in Eni and Freya and what we're building here with signing press.
Big get.
People have heard of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girl can score some goals.
Yeah, she a beast.
So we're really excited, but it's more than just, you know, being able for me to play is now being a fan of the game and seeing it continue to grow and being able to share it with my family.
Sure.
Can't wait to see me and him with her kids being like, see, they listen to me, kids. Huh? You see how these people listen to me?
Yeah, exactly.
There's also we're former players, and when their kids are young and they didn't get to see them play when they were young, there's always like, you know, I used to do that.
You know? In the snow.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mia, this is an absolute honor, not just to meet you, but to get a chance to speak with you. So thank you so much
being a part of the show. Thanks for being here and being a part of this. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Mia
honored.
Him, everybody.
Thank you.
Yes. On our show. That's really Mia and him.
The Angel City chat and the Legends chat is not over because we're going to be joined in just a moment with 99er and also Angel City FC owner Julie Foddy. So come right back.
Wow. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay?
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going
to... Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream... every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? Wow. The legends continue here.
Okay.
This is absolutely insane. We have yet another 99er.
There's just so many 99ers on one program.
Oh, man. I cannot wait. First of all, I mean, I've seen her obviously play soccer for so long. I've seen her be an analyst on TV. I've seen her do some incredible things. And now she has dropped her quality so low that she's willing to be on our show.
You know what? Is this the tailspin of Julie Foddy? I don't know.
It's the beginning of the end. This is absolutely, we're so honored to have her. Ladies and gentlemen, the pride of San Diego, World Cup winner. Put your hands together for the one, the only, Julie Foddy, everybody.
Julie, what's up?
Hi, guys. What's happening?
Oh my God.
This is top of my new resume. It's going on it.
I mean, first thing we have to ask is, you know, when you look back at your career, did you think you would be a club owner?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
I love the confidence.
Of course, Alexis. I think the full circle moment, though, there's 14 of us that are owners with Angel City. And the backstory to that is that Mia and I were both, talking to Angel City, and we both came to the conclusion, like, this is something that feels communal. We should be doing this with a lot of players. So we sent an email out to anyone who had lived in Southern California, played in Southern California, or was born and raised in Southern California, had a connection. And we said, hey, you guys want in? You want to be owners? And literally within 2 hours, it was like, yes, 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 yes. Hell yes. Where do I sign? So
wow. I wish I was at a point in my life where I could just receive that email. Well, someone can even inquire.
You're not even from Southern California.
You know what I mean? No one even presumes I could have the money to do that.
Yeah. If they ever put a team in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, you'll get the email.
All right, I get
you're definitely getting the email.
It was, we got to be at the reveal for the kit, which was an honor. You know, they reached out to us and said, hey, I think you guys need to be here. So even at that point, when those are the kind of emails we're receiving,
right?
For kit reveals, so that does feel pretty great. And the one thing that was, immediately noticeable was, one, the level of care and support around almost every single aspect of the club is incredible. And then the other thing that you immediately notice is that it is, for the most part, a women ran club at, yep, almost at every position, yep, at the club. It is there. That seems to be obviously a very conscious choice. Mm-hmm. But what are those conversations like about creating that kind of environment to have like this, yeah, female run and led environment?
Yeah. To your point, Christian, it's a totally different mindset with a lot of different really thoughtful layers. Not to say that men aren't thoughtful, but they're not sometimes. No, I'm kidding. but the things they think about, I am constantly blown away by. Like, for example, you know, we're gonna be hosting a watch party for this U.S. Women's National Team game or NWSL game, and it's at this women-led-owned. Swaggy wants in on the podcast. She does this a lot, so I apologize. I know, Swags. I don't have your squeaky toy. Go out of here.
No, I have a dog too. I have a. My dog's name is Nutmeg, and he does exactly the exact same thing.
As she's like,
the
fans
are all very used to barks.
She's on every podcast, I feel like. Huh? You want to say hi? You want to show yourself? Show yourself.
Yeah.
Swaggy, show who you are. She's a rescue doodle.
Hey, it looks exactly like Nutmeg, his dog. It
looks just like my dog.
Oh, you have a rescue doodle as well?
Oh, not a rescue. I feel terrible already.
I'm not kidding.
No, we couldn't find one.
I'm kidding. There's no thing as a rescue doodle. Come on.
Yeah, come on, he rescued Christian. It from the arms, yeah, of someone who charged him a lot of,
yeah,
money.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever I tell people that, they're like, you found a rescue doodle? I was like, no, come on. What's wrong with people? Stay with me.
What I like to think is when Julie Foudy goes in the office, someone's like, hey, Julie, that new position we're hiring for, I found a really good candidate. And it's a man. And then everyone laughs. Just laughs and laughs and laughs.
Oh, we got a comedian in the office.
We got a couple of bits here, huh?
That is not what happens. At least they don't tell me that. But they'll be like, hey, come to this watch party at, you know, this women-led, women-owned restaurant, and at halftime there's two female chefs that will be cooking cupcakes and showing you their organic recipes. You know, like, what? I mean,
what were the watch parties like when you started playing for the women's national team?
There were no watch parties. No, they didn't. There was no watch parties. They were like, what team are you? We were like, USA curling. I don't know. That's what we would tell people.
It's an interesting thing because there's clearly, you know, at any leadership position or the way any organization is run, if it's like men running it, there's like obviously blind spots that they might not be thinking about what the experience of a woman at this organization might be like that women are thinking about and trying to sort of get ahead of, right?
In past organizations or teams or even U.S. soccer back in the day, pre-Cindy Parlow, I like to say, there wasn't anyone who ever woke up and thought, oh, how can I make this better today? And it was more an afterthought, it felt like. And that's probably not entirely fair, but that's what it felt like as a player. And it was more of, hey, you should be just grateful you have a league or you have a national team to play on for girls way back in the day with the national team, right? Like, why do you want more than $10 a day? You should just be happy you're wearing the red, white, and blue. And we're like, we are. We're thrilled. We're blessed. We're, you know, super grateful. But we can't live
you want me to,
like this.
You want me to eat the kids?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. Exactly.
What side tastes better, the patch, the sleeve?
You know, exactly. There's so many, you know, I read Caitlin Murray's book, The National Team, and yeah, there's so many stories about you. And really based on the writing that you had to fight tooth and nail with U.S. soccer, you have a strong history, whether it's like negotiations, just like handling really the business side of, mm-hmm, the game. And what did those experiences teach you and help you, and now in becoming an owner? Obviously, you're as a player, you obviously have a lot of empathy for the players themselves and don't want them to go through what you went through. But as an, yeah, owner, how are you sort of balancing those two things?
Yeah, well, it gives you that perspective, which is why I think it's so important at any level to with any sport to have players be part of the ownership group and have a seat at the table. And it also helps you understand, when you have a seat at the table as an owner, all the challenges that are real. That maybe as a player, you're like, yeah, whatever, just take better care of me, right? I don't want to hear all the details. As an owner, you're like, whoa, that is expensive. And yes, we are losing that many millions of dollars. And so you get it from both sides. So I think, but I do think that just the perspective of having played, been there, and been frustrated by the little things that become big things is super helpful, because you just think differently when you now are an owner, and you can help really shape what that looks like for the players of this generation. And hopefully then it will carry on for the next. So that's the thing I think we're all most excited about as part of that, you know, 14 of us that are the players on Angel City is, and it's hopefully something that can be replicated by other teams, other sports. I mean, this is a roadmap that Julie Ehrman, the president, of course, of Angel City, really wants to share with others in hopes that others do the same.
Now, I mean, the question has to be asked, right? You've been a part of previous leagues and they're no longer here. NWSL seems like it's on different footing. There's a lot of excitement around it. There's a lot of new clubs that people are already asking, when is this city going to get a women's team? When is this city going to get a women's team? You know, can you speak a little bit about, obviously, you know, and the league has gone through some issues this past season, but can you speak a little bit about the strength of the league and why you decided now is the right time, and why, you know, all 438 other owners of Angel City decided now is the right time to jump into ownership, and where those aspirations can take a club like Angel City?
Yeah. Well, I think it's more than just an anecdotal belief that we're at a tipping point for women's sports. I mean, for so long you felt it and you could feel the energy and the enthusiasm behind women's sports and the investment. But there's a lot of data that now backs it up, that there could be, you know, a large return on investment. And I think that's the thing that is most exciting is, can we be part of helping tip that scale? Because I think there are a lot of people who are now interested in getting into women's sports with deeper pockets and means that we didn't have in the past, right? We had a lot of really well-intentioned owners mostly well-intentioned owners who, you know, did a lot of really good things, but maybe they didn't have the pockets to sustain $2 million in losses every year or $3 million in losses. And it takes, as we know, when the professional sports model, you know, a different owner in terms of depth of finance to sustain the losses for many years. And that's where I feel like we're at a really cool tipping point, because you have so many people from so many different silos. I mean, look at Angel City in itself, right? The Hollywood A-list celebrities, you got your athletes, and not just soccer athletes. Billie Jean's an owner, Lindsey Vonn's an owner, Candace Parker's an owner. And then you have your techies, you know, from the tech world, you have your venture capitalists, you have just rock stars from all these different fields that are coming together saying, we believe in this, and let's show everyone that this is the group that can tip that scale.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as far as the ownership of Angel City, it's like it's the jocks, it's the nerds, it's like Greece. You know?
Every table from lunch in high school is there.
Are we welcome anywhere? Yeah. Everybody's too cool for us.
Did you just make a Greece reference on this show?
Thank you for that. I always am telling the kids, like, my go-to karaoke song is Summer Lovin', and they're like, what?
I've never seen the movie, but I heard it's good.
Oh my Stop God. It.
I've seen Grease. Come on.
Stop anyway, it.
It's about a guy who flirted with a girl in the beach.
There's this guy and this girl. And
right? That's what it's about, right?
Wow. That's it.
The guy flirted with a girl in the beach.
Other movie now has he's been different. Like that. Yep.
Whenever the entire group of people start singing, the entire cast, I turn it off. I'm done. I'm like, that's not real.
Alexis, it's
choreographed.
It's too fake. But all the mafia movies that Alexis exclusively watches, this is reality.
If they sang in Goodfellas, I wouldn't watched it. I'm telling the truth.
So I want to talk about just the current play, especially the. So you were talking about the return on investment and viewership and the data behind NWSL and even, you know, international matches. But NWSL, the final was incredibly well received. The numbers were great. The Washington Spirit win the title in incredible fashion. Can we talk a little bit about the maybe some of the players that are really standing out? out to you outside of Angel City. You know, obviously there's still the draft is coming up. You see all the trades happening.
Lots of movement.
It seems a bit more active than usual, where obviously we just saw Ali Krieger and Ashton Harris go to Gotham, Kaylin Sheridan to San Diego, all these incredible moves. So what's from the ownership level now? How are you looking at the talent to kind of pick from? I don't want to ruin anything because I know you can't probably say too much.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
I'll give an overall picture.
Yeah. Thankfully, that's above my pay grade, and that's what they pay any for. But I just got done calling the College Cup final last night and the women's college soccer final. Mm-hmm. And, for example, they had two players on BYU who I hadn't seen much of, Michaela Coulihan and Cameron Tucker. They've scored 34 goals between them this year. Like, you know, two players. Michaela Coulihan actually is going to Orlando Pride. She's already been drafted. Cameron Tucker hasn't been drafted. But, I mean, two players that could step into the NWSL, I think, right away. And then they have, like, a Kelsey Turnbow with Santa Clara, who was another a Final Four team who's now going to San Diego. She got traded from Chicago Red Stars. She's a senior at Santa Clara, was supposed to go with the Red Stars, was part of that like 3 or 4 person trade. Katie Johnson, I forget who else was part of it, that went to San Diego. So there's heaps of talent out there. When you say the Washington Spirit, the one I'm most excited about, honestly, is Trinity Rodman. U.S. national team. She didn't go to Australia, but she'll be in January camp. And she'll be in the February camp, I imagine. She'll be in the March camp, I imagine. I mean, this is a player who has, speaking about upside, has a ton of upside. So I can't wait to see her.
Have you ever seen, since I've been watching NWSL and look, my knowledge of the women's game, it doesn't go as deep as yours, but I've never really seen a player, a rookie, and even, you know, only didn't, you know, didn't spend time in college, a lot of time in college.
Yeah.
For her to adapt to the league so quickly and look like she's been playing for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anyone else like that? Because I can't really remember anyone.
Julie's going to be like, yeah, me. What are you talking about?
I was going to say Mia Hamm. And then, but she went to college. When you put the college reference in there, that cuts out Mia. Well, there's not many people who have taken that path. I mean, Lindsay Horan was the first to do it. Really, the first one to say she didn't play domestically. She played over in France, of course, for PSG. But she was the first one to say, "Okay, I'm gonna bypass a scholarship to college and go get paid to play in France," and that worked out well for her. Mallory Pugh made the same decision. It's taken her longer, I think, but there aren't many that have done that. What Trinity has, I mean, Mallory Pugh, with how good she was at that age, when she was already on the Olympic team, right? She was 17 on the Olympic team, I think, in 2016, and yet it took her a few years, as we saw. I mean, she switched teams. She's been on 3 different clubs teams in the last 3 years, I think. So for Trinity to step in, to your point, Christian, as fast as she did, I think says a lot, right? Because it's not easy. Yeah. It's a jump in how quick they're playing. It's a jump in physicality. Yeah. And you're living on your own.
The Spirit don't win the title without Julie.
100%. 100%. Julie, we have a group called Gully Squad. They're our supporters group. We let them ask a couple questions of our guests. We got a question here from Thomas A. Thornton. How have you seen the acceptance change and or grow, if it has, of women like yourself in the analyst chair?
Like for men's events, you mean? Or for women's?
Yeah. The acceptance of women, analyzing the men's game.
I mean, it's definitely taken time for the men's game. I mean, I still get nasty tweets, but I don't know. I mean, the difference now is I have no FOPO, which is no fear of other people's opinions anymore. But in the past, like when I first started doing men's World Cups and Euros back in the day, it was brutal. Thank God there was no social media. I don't even people would send stuff through different channels, say Facebook or, but
You got to be a real garbage human to send a nasty letter.
A handwritten note.
They would. I was like, don't hand me the fan mail. But it's definitely changed, as it should. You know, just like ESPN as an entity has changed. There used to be no women doing SportsCenter. I mean, and that was such a revelation when a female host handed off another show to another female host. I think it was Hannah Storm to Linda Cohn or something like that. And I remember watching that live going, oh my God. And that was only like a decade ago. I'm like, wait, what? That's it? So it's great to see that we have so many women doing men's sports, women's sports, and as it should be, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. We have one more question. This is from Lura McCoy. She says, referring to Julie Friday, she goes, legends only. She asks this question. She says, what kind of donut is Julie eating today? I know you're a big fan.
I do have, you know, the first step is admitting you have a problem. I have a donut problem. I haven't had a donut today, actually. I've been really good. COVID made my donut addiction run rampant. And I felt like, wow, you know, 15 pounds later, I needed to, you know, to slim it up a little bit, get a little healthier. So I've been really good. But a cinnamon roll is my favorite donut. The bigger, the better. Ooh. If it's bigger than my head, it's fantastic. Super stodgy.
Next time you come to New York, I got some options for you.
Do you?
You know, if you bring stretchy pants, I guess, because that's what I wear when I walk around. We've got, thank you so much. We know you have to run, but we do have some other pieces that we need before we run.
Yes, Julie Friday, thank you so much for joining us. We have to get to our Golazo gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal on our show that we will turn into a gift that will live on the internet forever. So Alexis will give
you a
scenario.
I've been waiting for this. Come on.
Here we go.
Feel free to celebrate however you like. Alexis, what are you thinking today?
All right. So here's what I think. So Angel City FC get to the NWSL championship. And for some reason they say, Julie, we need you in there. Everyone else is done.
That
we
means
need
you're
in there.
Super desperate. Hopefully there's a paramedic on the sideline.
It's the end of the match, right?
Here's and then, your oxygen tank and your jetpack. Go.
Also, EMTs are going to be on the field with you, but you're on there and you just put one right through, put your laces right through it. It curls in, you score the winner. And by the way, just before you scored, they told you if you scored, you would not only get to own Angel City FC, but also they'll just give you a part of LAFC. Here you go. Donate it to you. Now you own two clubs in the same city. How do you celebrate that goal?
Well, because I don't have a sports bra on, I cannot take it off.
I mean, the ratings would go through the roof.
I cannot. No, that would scare the viewers off. There's no Brandi Chastain in this belly. Okay, are you ready? I got two teams and what? And I scored the game winner?
You own two teams.
I can't. I would show you my standard, but I can't get it on camera. So we got to stay in our Zoom box. Okay, ready? Hell yes! Yeah! F yeah! I'm not cussing! Because there's kids!
Yeah. You're like, I'm more mature now.
I am a mom!
A board member.
Great.
Incredible.
Love the celebration.
Incredible.
All right. Julie Friday, thank you so much for joining us. Absolutely honored. We're obviously huge, huge fans of you. This is an absolute privilege for us.
Thanks for all the good work you're doing.
Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
Well, because you guys have so much fun on your podcast, we have a podcast called Laughter Permitted that we're going to have to reciprocate. You might be my first man I have on the podcast.
Oh, wow. Too much pressure.
I know.
But happy to.
Man or men? What happened here? How did I get bumped out of this?
Honestly, this is the first time I've been called a man.
Okay? Yeah. He can't even grow a beard.
That's Julie.
And I mean, like your podcast, which I love that you guys interview all these soccer you know, legends, and I've seen your guest list of people you've had on here, and but you do it in such a fun style, right? Which is, I think everything, like, I think sometimes we get too consumed in the X's and O's rather than figuring out the joy of sports. So thanks for all you're doing. We try and do the same.
Oh, thank you. Come
Julie,
on.
We don't from
even,
you?
We don't even know the alphabet.
Yeah.
I signed the contract to this show with a crayon.
Julie, again, absolutely honored. Thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, Angel City, obviously starting next year, and it's going to be great. So everybody, also make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for more clips of the show and other interviews with some other legends, just like Julie Foudy. So Julie, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. Right. So please join us in this. So for Julie Foudy, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!